First Samuel, the sixth chapter.
Let's take a look at this. We got the ark captured. The ark is captured by the enemy. The ark of God. Now, last week we studied about the ark of God. And it was a real hilarious story. For God. But not for them. We had Samuel's son, or not Samuel's son, but Eli's sons. They were ungodly men, weren't they? Eli's sons were ungodly men. So, God was going to get rid of them. And he said that he was going to, that none of their children would grow to be old, they would die young. Okay? And he said that he had raised up a man in place of Eli's sons. And Eli's sons were going to die. They prophesied that. So what did Israel decide to do? How are they going to get around this indictment by God? What was their idea? What would the boys do? And what was their idea of overcoming the enemy? They were going to take the Ark of God into battle. Now, did God tell them to do that? No way. So they took the Ark of God like a good luck charm. Okay, just like a good luck charm, they took the Ark of God into battle. And what happened? They lost the battle. The enemy was afraid at first, and because all of Israel, when the Ark of the God was brought into the battle by Eli's sons, they started screaming and hollering and going on, boy, we got them now. And the enemy was afraid. Because the Ark of God, and boy, the Ark of God, they'd heard about the Ark of God long before that, you know, when Israel came into the promised land before, when they carried the Ark of God. They carried the Ark of the God around Jericho. Remember that great big city? And they carried it around seven times. They didn't have to fight the battle. And they shouted. Remember what happened? They shouted and they blew the trumpets. And what happened to the walls of Jericho? They fell down flat into the ground. The ground swallowed the walls. Just like that. They went down. That's something in archaeology, I was there. The ground, the walls did not fall down on the ground. Poof! They fell down in the ground. They just went. Now, these are the stories, okay? Here's the surface of the ground. Here's the walls of Jericho. Now, the walls of Jericho are big because they have houses on top of them, okay? All right, that's how big it is. Now, when Israel went around Jericho seven times and they blew the trumpets and they shouted, the wall fell down into the ground like that. The ground swallowed the walls up. I've been there. I've seen this. Okay? The ground swallowed the walls up and the walls weren't there any longer. Now, these enemies of God knew about such things as this. So they were afraid. But I believe that God encouraged the enemy in this place. He encouraged the enemy. And then, so they took, the Philistines took the Ark of God into their palace. Into their palace. Into their temples. And they put the Ark of God in there in front of Dagon, their main god. All right. What happened to Dagon? Dagon, first of all, fell over in front of the Ark of God like he was praising God at the Ark of the God. And his head and his hands and his feet were gone, and all was left was the trunk of his main body. That was all that was left on the ground. All right. And what happened to the people? Remember what happened to the people? What happened, Brett?
No, I thought they all died.
No. What happened to the people? Hemorrhoids. They got hemorrhoids.
That's right.
Now God gave them hemorrhoids. They all had hemorrhoids. Every one of them. Okay? Every one of them. God's laughing now. God's laughing. These people are miserable. Okay? And everywhere they took the ark, instantly the people got hemorrhoids. So they did not want the Ark of God around. They said, get rid of it. So now in the sixth chapter, of the book of 1 Samuel. Now, did you think that God had a sense of humor? Do you think God's laughing at these people now? Read the book of Revelation. Read the book of Revelation. If you think it doesn't do like this, he's going to do things like this today. Okay? Everybody in the world today, they laugh about God. When Benjamin Franklin went to France, this was in his day, you know, in the 1700s. Benjamin Franklin went to France, and he was a Bible believer. Okay? Benjamin Franklin was a Bible believer. And he carried his Bible with him and everything else, and they laughed at him for reading the Bible, the fairy tale book. They laughed at him. So they invited him, because, you know, they didn't have television, they didn't have radio or anything like that back then. So they invited him to get up in front of this crowd of people and read a poem or something. So he read the book of Ruth. We studied here a while back. And when he got up and read the book, they were applauding and everything. Yay, yay, yay. You ought to print that. He says, it's already been printed. Where? In the Bible that you've been ridiculing. It's in the Bible, okay? 6 and verse 1. Sister Andino, are you over there?
Mm-hmm. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months.
Seven miserable months. 7 miserable months. Brother David. Number 2.
And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we shall send it to its place.
All right. Now they didn't believe, they didn't have any priests like God. Okay? These were pagan priests. And these are fortune tellers. These diviners are fortune tellers. Okay? They went to the fortune teller. You know where they got the hand up on the sign on the side of the wall, fortune teller, come here and we'll tell you your fortune and all that kind of stuff. All right, that's what these people were. Fortune tellers. That's what it says in the original language. Fortune tellers. What shall we do with the ark? And tell us how we shall send it to its place. And number 3 now, the other brother David, are you over there?
So they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with
the guilt offering. They knew something about the law of God, didn't they?
Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his name removed from you.
All right. All right, we'll do anything to get rid of this plague. This was a plague, people. This was a plague. All right. Number 4 now. We're coming along. By the way, we're going to go through Samuel. We're going to get a foundation of this, and then we're kind of skip along through the whole Old Testament. We're going to get to the book of Ezekiel and Daniel. We're going to slow down Isaiah a little bit and slow down in those places, but we're going to cover, and then we're going to get in the New Testament, and we are going to look at the New Testament with a magnifying glass. All right? How would you like to do that? We're going to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then all the epistles. Okay? We're going to do that. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the 4 Gospels together. All right? All right, number 4. All right, number 4 now. And they said, what shall be the guilt offering which we shall return to him? Guilt offering. What did they do? They were guilty, weren't they? Guilty. And they said, 5 golden what? Hemorrhoids. This is it. 5 golden hemorrhoids. And 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, 1 plague was on all of you and on your lords. Now this is, what a deal. Alright, hemorrhoids is a tumor, you know, so they're going to make a golden tumor, hemorrhoids. Alright? Number 5 now, young lady, sunshine.
make models of the tumors. Or hemorrhoids,
uh-huh.
And of the wrath that are destroying the country, and pay honors to Israel's God. Perhaps he will lift his hand from you and your gods and your land.
Well, I tell you what, this doesn't make much sense, does it? Now, here are the fortune tellers. Maybe he'll remove his hand from your gods. You know, how would you like to be a Mormon and have to defend your religion? You have no foundation, do you? In all reality, if you're a Catholic and you had to defend your religion, you don't have much to stand on, do you? Historically, you're all messed up. and from the Bible. If you do, you're going to have to simply ignore the Bible and just go by the dogmas. Okay? Just go by the dogmas. Why don't you write his name for him, Marilyn?
I did.
Oh, okay. Number 6. And when then you harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, why then do you harden your hearts? Now, did they know the history of Israel and what happened in Egypt? Why in the world didn't they believe? Why didn't they believe? Why didn't they believe, David? They knew the history of what happened to the Egyptians. They knew they had seen what was going on right now. Huh?
Hard-headed
people. They loved their religion.
They were a collective group that thought the same way.
Yeah. That's a very good deal. They were a collective group that stuck together. This is what you call... Why is it so hard to get somebody out of the Muslim faith? The collective group. Why is it so hard to get somebody out of Mormonism? They're a collective group. All right? It's hard. And when you do, when somebody is converted, then what happens? They're ostracized. Why is it so hard to get somebody out of the Catholic Church? They're a collective group. The power. All right. All right, here we go. Brother Brett, number 7. Are you there at all? What are you doing stealing that man's Bible?
Number 7, what?
1 Samuel 6 and 7. Yeah.
Now therefore take the temporary new part and 2 milk cows.
That's the old way to spell milk cow, by the way. That's the old way to spell milk cow. That's old English for some reason. I don't know why they brought it over.
On which there had never been a yoke. And hitch the cows to the cart and take the calves. Come away from them.
Okay, now let's look at this. This is advice. Now, how many of you have been around cats and dogs? Anybody have a cat and dog with babies? Okay. Have you ever had a calf? How many of you ever had a calf and with a cow with a calf? Anybody here? Nobody but me? How about a goat with a calf and all? Nothing like that. Well, when you try to... what happens when you try to take a cat away from a kitten away from a cat? They don't like it, do they? They'll follow you around all over the place. Sometimes scratch you up a little bit. Same thing with a dog. Leave their puppies alone. When you go out there around a little nest of baby kittens, you have a cat that really likes you a lot. But when you get around that nest of baby kittens, she'll turn into a lion. That happens. They protect their young. Now, a cow, when you take their young away from them, they won't leave that young. That's a pitiful situation out here in these dairies and things because they never get to even see their young or stay with them or anything at all. They've totally taken that away from them. The milk cows out there, they just breed them and just take their cattle, their babies away from them right now. But in the wild, a buffalo, bull, a wild cow, anything, when you try to take the calf away from them, you're in trouble. All right? That's not going to happen. All right? Now, they're using something natural, and they know about this. Now, therefore, take and prepare a new cart, with 2 milk cows. Now, these milk cows have just had babies, so they've got babies that are sucking also, okay? Which there's never been a yoke. They've never been a yoke on these cattle. They are not trained to yoke at all. A lot of times they took cattle back in these days and they would plow with them. That's what we call ox today. You know, they still use oxen in some places in this country, mostly for show. Some of the Amish, everything back there, but they have these ox pulls and things. But you know, this was something they did all the time. But these could never have been trained to a cart. All right, they've never been put on a yoke at all. And hitch the cows to the cart. The cows have never been hitched before. They're hitched to this brand new cart. Take their calves home away from them. What do you think the cows are going to normally do?
Follow
their calves. But now, they're expecting God to do a miracle here. Now, here they are expecting Jehovah to do a miracle, and they don't believe in Jehovah. Oh, how silly! Revelation, God is revealing Himself to them. In the Word of God, God reveals us. We've got from Genesis through Revelation how God has revealed Himself to us. Okay? Now here He's revealing Himself to these people. He's plaguing them. Alright? And now here their advisors, their spiritual advisor, are coming up with some pretty good advice here, really, for lost people. Alright, number 8, Brother Floyd. All right, number 8.
And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry to the Lord."
Oh, no, that's the wrong one, brother. That's 6 and 8. Chapter 6 and verse 8. 6 and 8. Chapter 6, verse 8. All right, now here we are. Now we've got these two cows. We've got these two cattle, two cows, that have had babies. They're hooked it up. They've hooked it up to a cart. They've never been hooked to a cart. Never been trained to pull. How many of you ever driven a horse in a cart? Nobody's ever done that either. Nobody but me. Nobody but me. All right. I'm going to tell you something. You can take a broke horse that's never been in a cart, and you can hook up the harness, and you've got a rodeo. I'm telling you. You take a broke horse, and you hook it up in a cart, and you've got a rodeo. They'll turn upside down, buck, have a walleye calyption fit. And they're broke. You can ride them all over, but never been in harness before. Now, here we two have got two wild cows hooked up to a cart. Number 9, Brother Mike.
And watch if it goes up by the way of its own territory to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil.
All right, if it goes that direction, the Lord has worked on us. I don't think they had any doubt, to tell you the truth. Go ahead, brother.
But if not, then we shall know that it was not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance.
What did the rabbi say about chance? They say chance is not a kosher word. Chance is not a kosher word. Number 10 now. Number 10. Brother David.
And the men did so. They took two cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home.
All right. Now they took the two milk cows. Now I'm telling you again, this is M-I-L-C-H. That's the old term for milk. That's an old English term. Why they brought it over even in the New American Standard, I don't know, but they did. All right. And verse number 11. And they put the ark of the Lord of Jehovah on the cart and the box with the golden mice and the likeness of their hemorrhoids. Number 12, and the cows took a straight way in the direction of Beth Shemesh, and they went along the highway lowing as they went. They were bawling for their young. Their hearts had not changed, but they were directed by God. Okay? Their hearts had not changed, but they had directed by God. So they were mourning because they were leaving their young, but they just kept on going anyway. How many of you ever heard a cow bawl for its young, or a dog whine for its babies or whatever? That's what these cattle were doing. They were crying as they went, but they were going. Just like somebody was guiding them. That somebody was God. 1 Samuel 6 and verse 12. Lowing, yes. Well, it doesn't say much about it, but they were plagued with mice also. The mice were coming after them. I mean, the mice were all over. Like Egypt was plagued with frogs and lice. Okay? And all of the plagues of Egypt. Now, they were plagued with mice. It doesn't say a lot about it. All it does, secondarily, it tells us they were plagued with mice. Okay? But they made an effigy of the mice and of the hemorrhoids. And they put it in its cart. Okay? This is a trespass offering because they had sinned against God. Okay? It said they did not turn aside to the right or the left, and the lords of the Philistines followed them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the Lord is going to win this battle without one Jew helping him. Without one Jew helping him. Without one. Didn't need an army. Nobody had a sword in their hand. The Ark of the Covenant won this battle. They may have won and killed all these people, but the Lord's going to win this battle. Okay? And the battle was between their gods and the God of Israel. Now, young lady, Jessica, is that your name?
Yes.
Jessica? If you were one of these people, would you have believed? I'd have changed my religion right there and then, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I want to change. Go ahead, Jessica. Read number 13 there.
Now the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting their wheat in the valley. And when they looked up and saw the ark, they rejoiced at the sight.
All right. They were rejoiced. Here the ark comes back. God's taking care of him. Brother John, number 14.
Then the cart came into the field of Joshua, Beth Shemesh, and stood there. A large stone was there. So they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord.
All right. God had picked these cattle out. God was using this, and they offered them as a burnt offering. They used the cart, and they used the cattle as their sacrifices. Right here, I mean, right here. And then verse number 15, Brother John.
So the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord.
All right, now we've got a religious revival in Israel. All right, that's what's going on here. We got a religious revival in Israel. Number 16. And when the five lords of the Philistines saw it, they returned to Ekron that day. Now, if I'd have been those five lords, I'd have believed. I'd have gone over there and I'd have carried me another offering. Wouldn't you, Brother Brett? But this is what we call a... What did you call this a while ago?
Collective
religion. So they went on back, and they went on right back to doing what they had done before. And they had to repair their God. They had to go repair their God. They had to go repair the house of God because God had worked them over. Number 17. Number 17, Sister Andino.
I think that they the Philistines returned with it. Trespass offering to the Lord, one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron.
Okay, these are the golden hemorrhoids. Now, what happened at Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron? Who were, would we find out something about this later on? Who is this? Who were these? What was going to come up out of these people later on? Not very far from now. These are the place the giants lived. These were giants. These are maybe what is called the Nephilim, the big people, the giant people. Okay, these are the giant people. Gath. Where was Goliath from?
Gath.
All right. Here is the top. These are the people that God plagued. Now, okay. We're still going to have trouble with them later. They haven't learned their lesson yet. God may have inflicted pain upon them, but they didn't believe. Sister Andina.
Even today, Gaza is a troubled place.
Yes.
We listen every day on the news.
Oh, yes. It's trouble. All right. And this is where, this is not too far from Hebron. All right. Hebron was that hill country. That's where Joshua and Caleb wanted. They wanted that hill country. That's where the giants were when they came into the land. They were giants in that land, okay? That's the ones they said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. So these are the ones. God gave the giants hemorrhoids. He took care of the giants. Okay, number 18. Number 18. Sister Andino, go ahead and read that one too.
And the golden calf, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both 45 cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel, on which they set the ark of the Lord.
All right.
Which still remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh.
All right, here we are in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh, of the Beth Shemite. All right, the Beth Shemite. Number 19, now, Dr. John, what will we have down here? 19.
Then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter.
Why in the world did God strike down his own people here?
Disobedience.
What?
Disobedience.
Disobedience. Lack of reverence.
Contamination.
Lack of reverence. Yeah, lack of reverence. What was the Ark of God? Who saw the Ark of God normally?
The priest, the high priest.
Only the high priest. Did they ever look into the Ark?
No.
No. Never. This is so holy that they weren't supposed to touch it or look at it. If you touched it or looked at it, what happened to you? You died. Do you think Israel knew these prohibitions? Evidently, 50,070 of them didn't believe. 50,070 didn't believe. 50,000. That's a pretty good bunch of people, isn't it? 50,000 people. And 70. Don't forget the 70. 50,070 people didn't believe. Can you imagine? Now, here they are. This is like people going down the road, you know, and they have a wreck over on the side and everybody slows down. Now, the traffic could be running along just fine, except there's a ray over here on the side of the road, there's something going on over there, and everybody slams their brakes on looking over there, and guess what happens? Sometimes you have another wreck because somebody's looking over there. So here we have a bunch of people. We got a wreck over here. We got people that are dying right and left, but somebody's still got to go look and see what's going on. And so 50,070 of them had died. 50,070 had died.
What? What did they do with all the bodies?
Well, they're going to have to bury them because they're going to stink up the place. All right? 50,000 people. Number 20 now. Number 20. And the man of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? He is holy, isn't he? Don't try to profane God's stuff. Don't profane God. God is holy. Don't profane Him. Respect Him. Respect Him because He is holy. What was wrong when we had Cain and Abel in the garden, didn't we? That's way back yonder. Now, God was still dealing with these people directly at that time. And we had Cain and Abel there. And we have Cain just defiantly not offering the correct sacrifice. Defiantly. Defiantly. And what does he end up doing?
He's the first murderer.
They thought that he was the Messiah. But he became the first murderer.
So yes. When people said, I'm going to talk to the man upstairs.
Yeah.
That is so.
Yeah. This is. That's so lightly speaking of God.
Mm-hmm.
God is holy, people. When we use the name Jehovah, we speak of that because the King James Version put that in the Bible. But that name, the Jews won't even speak that name. They say Adonai. They will not say the name Jehovah at all. They don't know how to say it anyway. We don't know how to say it. All right? They say Adonai. Adonai refers to him as the Lord. All right? King of kings, Lord of lords, Adonai. Adonai ha-Adonim. The Lord of lords and King of kings, the highest of all, highly high God. The name for God. And that name, Jehovah, they refer to him as the Hashem, the name, or the word. Okay? In the New Testament, when we start right off there in John 1 and 1, it says, in beginning, kept on being the Word, the name, the Lord. And the Lord kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because He kept on being God. That's a a free translation of that, but that's exactly what it says. The Jehovah, the personal name of God. That's what it is. Write it up here for you. This is what it looks like. It's like this. Four consonants with no way to say it. That's the word right there. That's the name of God. And the Lord said, in His law, thou shalt not use the Lord thy name, God's name, in what?
In vain.
That still stands today. It still stands today. We should not use His name in vain. It scared the Jews so bad they never spoke the name again. They never spoke this name again. Now they'll put a down here and they'll put a vial of that and they'll make it into Jehovah. Other people do. I just leave the thing unpointed and refer to Him as the name or as the Lord. Hashem, that means the name or the word. All right? It doesn't make any difference. Here's how they write it, like this. That's the way the Hashem, okay? But that is the name of God. Israel reserved that name not to even be spoken. You've heard about the manuscripts when they came upon, when they were writing the manuscripts and copying them, they had to all copy them by hand. Many of you have seen, I've got an interlinear of the book of Genesis and then all the whole New Testament, everything, I've written it by hand. When Israel was writing out the manuscripts, before it could ever be certified as a real copy, the priest had to go and count every letter in it and make sure that every word was in that correct. Now, when you were writing the manuscript, if you were a scribe, you heard about the scribes? The scribes and the Pharisees, you know, they were scribes. The scribes wrote this. If the scribes were writing the manuscript, when they came to the name here of God, when they came to that name, they would pick up a different pen with different ink and they would write it, just like this. Okay? Now, if they made a mistake on that, huh? They had to take the manuscript, consecrate it, and bury it.
And they wouldn't use the pen.
And they wouldn't use the pen again. You could make a mistake on any other word, and you could erase it or rub it out and write it again. But if you made a mistake on the name of God, you couldn't do that. That's how holy the name of God. Now, those Jews have got problems. They missed the boat. Okay? When the Messiah came, they missed the boat. They didn't hear His words. They refused to hear His words. But they still have a lot of respect for the Bible and the name of God. Okay? I was talking to a Jewish boy on the radio last night, and I told him I'd be busy tomorrow, and he said, yeah. He said, you guys changed the Sabbath. I said, I didn't. I said, the Catholic Church may have changed the Sabbath back in the Dark Ages, but God didn't. The Sabbath's still Saturday. I said, we go to church on Sunday, but the Sabbath is always from Friday evening to Saturday evening. That's the Sabbath. There is no other Sabbath, people. God didn't change the Sabbath. The Catholic Church changed the Sabbath, but not God. We ought to respect that. Yes?
The ark was here. You went over and picked the lid up on it. Did you ask Jesus to intercede to the Lord and not be killed?
Well, I think we better leave it alone. First of all, that's holy. It's holy. That's something that we don't need to touch. Now, the mercy seat that they picked up to look in there, that is Jesus. The mercy seat, the hislosmos, or the kafar, that represents Jesus. Okay? It is pure gold. That represents Him. All right? He is our kafar. He is our covering. He is our mercy seat. And 1 John 2:2, it says that. He is what represents that. We don't need... We can cling on to Jesus, all right. But I think we still need to remember, even if the Ark of the Covenant was here, we need to just realize that that represented our Savior.
This is simple, right?
There it is right there. That represents, this mercy seat represents our Savior specifically. All of that tabernacle represents Him. With great reverence, we need to remember that. I taught on, remember when I taught on the ark? And I taught on the whole tabernacle and everything. With great reverence, we need to remember this. But I wouldn't, if the Ark of the Covenant was here, the real one, we're going to see the real Ark of the Covenant one of these days. It's hid out. I believe in 2 Maccabees, the second chapter, tells you where the Ark of the Covenant is. I think it's in the mountain. And I've been on that mountain where God showed Moses the promised land, and he buried him in a cave on that mountain. And in a cave on that mountain is where they say Jeremiah was warned of God to take the Ark of the Covenant and all the tabernacle and everything and put it there and hide it until the end times, until Israel is called back to God. Okay? I believe they're going to find it. What?
Is that the mountain Nebo?
Yeah, it's the Mount Nebo or Pisgah, whatever you want to say. It's different points on there, but someplace on that mountain is the Ark of the Covenant. I believe that it is. I mean, you've got stories. We have got so much hyper-eschatology going on today. In the last 6 or 8 months, I have never seen such hyper-eschatology going on. There's a lot of stuff out there that is not true. All of it is using some things. You know, there's people who say they found the Ark of God on the Temple Mount underneath there, and they found the place where it is and all that stuff. But that's not what Maccabees says. You know, the Old Testament, the Jews believed Maccabees to be the truth. Now, how did they go over there on that mountain, Mount Kibisgah, Mount Nebo, how did they go over there and carry that ark back? It doesn't tell us. They didn't ever come back to God, did they? Has Israel ever come back to God? Ever? Has the Shekinah glory or the Ark of the Covenant ever been in any temple since Solomon's temple? Never has. All right. Now they had representatives. They had replicas of it. When Caesar carried it off, they took off a replica of it. They didn't take off the Ark of the Covenant, I guarantee you. If they'd have been carrying that Ark of the Covenant, the same thing would have happened to them that happened to these Philistines. The real Ark of the Covenant is holy, people. It's all Raiders of the Lost Ark and things like that. They wouldn't have ever got that far with it. There's probably, you remember Sheba? The Queen of Sheba went down into Ethiopia. Haile Selassie was supposed to be a descendant of Solomon and all of this. You know, they're Jews, or they're black Jews down there. And they had a facsimile of the Ark of the Covenant that goes all the way back to Solomon's time, supposedly. But it's not the real Ark. The real Ark is going to shake up the world. It shook the world before, didn't it? It shook the world. In the book of Revelations, it says that He will not only shake the earth, but He will shake the heavens also. Remember that? The Ark of the Covenant, it represents Jehovah. Jehovah is the one that created. On Sunday afternoon, I'm teaching from the book of Genesis, I'm going to tell you something. From Hebrew, that is, you just carry that whole in a holy way. That's His holy word. It's unbelievable what things you see in that book. Brother David came the first time, first class. You couldn't get to the other class, but you came, and I know it foundered you at first. But we're going to look at each word in there and find out the creation, how God created, and how holy He is. He's holy, people. They hadn't learned about the holiness yet here. All right? Yes.
So do you believe that during the tribulation period, when they build in the new temple,
I think they could find it then, maybe, but I don't think so, because Israel hasn't repented yet, have they? Israel won't really repent. Now, they may take that Ark of the Covenant with them when they go down into Petra. Okay, it could be, because then they have repented. And that's at the middle of the tribulation period, isn't it? In the middle of the tribulation period, what's going to happen? The Antichrist is going to stand up in the temple, in the real temple, and God says, In the book of Matthew and all through the New Testament, he said when you see that unholy person stand up in the holy place of God and swear that he is God and the man to be worshipped, he said, get out of here. Don't, if you're on top of your balcony on your house, don't go downstairs to get out. Jump to the next house and run on top of the rooftops until you get out of here. Do not even go in the house. Jump and run. Leave. Because it's expedient for you to leave, because now the Antichrist is here. The abomination, the desolation has taken place. Antiochus Epiphanes. How many of you have heard of that name? The Jews celebrate every year the Feast of Purim. All right? The Feast of Purim. They celebrate when Haman and Mordecai, all of that took place back there. They celebrate what happened, okay? And then on Hanukkah, they celebrate another feast on Hanukkah. What happened in Hanukkah? That's when Israel took back the holy place. That's when God, when they took it away from the Maccabees. The Maccabees, we're talking about the book of Maccabees. That's when the Maccabees stood against Antiochus Epiphanes, and they have those feasts that they celebrate. Hanukkah is where we got Christmas from, people. That's when they give gifts to each other. That's where we have the 8 days of Christmas, or the 8 great days of Hanukkah. You've heard all about that. That's where it all came from. All right? They celebrated that they took their place back and that they consecrated the temple again with that oil for the 8 days that God performed a miracle and made the oil last until they could get more holy oil to put into the lampstands in the temple. All right? Let's go on a little further. And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord and come down and take it up. All right? All right, and the myth of Kiriath. All right, where was Judas from? Judas Iscariot.
I thought that was the best name.
All right, Judas Iscariot. What does Judas Iscariot mean? Just think about that for a minute. Man from Kerioth, or Keria. This is where he came from, right here. Man from Kerioth, or Keria. All right. And the men of Kiriath Jearim came down and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar. This is what they should have done in the beginning. Now they're learning slowly. Okay? Have you ever learned something today? From the Word of God? Okay. And they consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the Ark of the Covenant. All right? To keep the Ark of Jehovah. The name. Now they're getting it right. All right? Now they begin to respect the God of Israel. I think most of all, we need to respect the God of Israel, the God of the book. Respect Him. Because He is our God. He is the caretaker of your very life. We are here today on borrowed time, people. We are. On borrowed time. Life is fleeting. As you get older, you realize that. If you ever have a terrible illness or something, I have been so close to death. My cousin told me when they Bill and Cindy Paul, when they came out here from Oklahoma, and I was telling stories about different things that happened to me in life, and Cindy said, you ought to write a book, The Man That Refused to Die. The man that wouldn't die. All the things that happened to us are our life. But you know what? As I got older, I respect life more and more because it is fleeting. It is fleeting. It isn't guaranteed. You don't have tomorrow. I listened to a sermon this last week by Jonathan Edwards. It was printed, or not printed, but spoken the first time in 1740-something.
I was just going to mention that to you.
Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. This is sinners in the hands of an angry God right here. God is angry with them. They did not respect him, so he allowed the armies to be killed. How many people died? About 40,000 people. How many people died looking in the Ark of the Covenant? 50,000 and 70. How many people were on the, I think the 70 people there, how many people were on the Sanhedrin court?
70.
I think that the other 70 just telling us one more story. Consecrate Eli and his sons to keep the ark of the Lord. It came about from the day that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim. Now this is where old Judas is from. Come carry y'all. Judas Iscariot. Do you think he heard the story of this? Judas didn't listen very well either, did he? And he walked with the Lord, the very Word of God. And he went the wrong way, didn't he? He went the wrong way. That the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all of house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then they lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord... We'll finish in just a minute. Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods. Get rid of the false gods and the good luck charms. Get rid of them. And the Ashtaroth from among you. And direct your hearts to the Lord. Now this is Samuel. Remember, Samuel is the man that God replaced Eli and his sons with, isn't he? This is the man that God raised up. He was a miraculous birth. All of this. Direct your hearts to the Lord and serve Him alone. And He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. And the sons of Israel moved the Baals. All right. That's plural, by the way. It's the plural for Baals. All right. Baal was a god. They had many gods of Baal. All right. Lots of them. One in their pocket, one on their back, one on their hat. Or whatever. Good luck charms over them. And the Ashtaroth. And serve the Lord alone. And Samuel said, here is a good thing. And Samuel said, gather all Israel from Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. All right. There's where we're going to start next week right there. 7 and verse 5. 7 and verse 5. Do you have any questions? Any questions about it this week? Anything? Any observations? Did you learn something today?
The house that the people of Israel were worshiping these idols.
They were worshiping the idols also. Why did God kill them when they opened up the ark? They didn't have any respect for Jehovah for first place, and they had a whole lot of good luck charms probably in their pockets. They were still carrying their rabbit's feet and all their good luck charms with them. All the other guys, they may have named the name of God, but their heart wasn't God.
Didn't they know from their teachings that they couldn't even touch the ark?
They learned it again.
Who was the one guy that kept it from falling and he
yeah.
touched it?
Yeah, there's another time. Again, you think that God is being too harsh?
They probably thought there was another good luck charm in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not different nowadays that I mentioned. Some Christians that they are...
In the house of God, the house of God is holy, people. The house of God is holy. All right? Brother David, now let me ask you. If we had the Ark of the Covenant in here, the real one, would you touch it? I mean, this represents our Savior.
Well, you couldn't even carry it unless you were a priest.
No,
these wooden poles.
They couldn't touch it. They had to use those wooden poles and they slid those poles into that Ark of the Covenant and never took them out. They only touched the poles.
And Uzzah, remember, he went down and touched it.
That's right. We're going to get into that later. You know, we're going to find that later on. We're going to study about David. We're going to study about Saul, one ask about, and all of these things, okay? And then we're going to go kind of smoothing, going, are you enjoying this? I know we want to get into the New Testament. We're getting some things in the New Testament also. But when we get to the New Testament, we're going to look at it with a magnifying glass. All right? You finished? Done with me? All right. 4:30 this afternoon, we're doing the book of Genesis if you want to see that. Brother David.
Yes, sir.